Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ala and I'm a teacher at LSAT Demon, which you can find at lsatdemon.com. I'm really, really excited about today's episode because it's my first time interviewing a former student of mine from my own classes, which is so cool. I've got Joey here today with me, and kind of fun story. I was at Berkeley's Admitted Students Weekend a couple of weeks ago. And I was just, you know, I had just gotten out of like a session and I was just like waiting around and I saw someone, you know, walk by me and I was like, oh, that person was like weirdly familiar. And then I was like, oh, Ala, you're just like recognizing people out of nowhere. There's no way that you actually know somebody here. And then that same person walks by again. And I was like, Joey? And it was so weird because I'd never seen Joey in person. We were obviously just in like Zoom classes together all the time. And it turns out it was Joey. And then we started talking. That was so crazy.
Yeah, it really was. It was such a crazy but pleasant surprise bumping into you there.
Yeah, it was awesome. I felt like it was a very out of body experience for me because everyone's just a little Zoom, you know, box in my on my screen. And it was just amazing to meet one of my students and also to hear that you absolutely crushed the LSAT. So let's talk about it. Do you want to tell us maybe a little bit about your diagnostic and how the beginning of your LSAT journey was like?
Sure. I'd love to share a little bit of my journey. So I actually started at a 149 diagnostic, and like I went into that diagnostic, not knowing anything, and it was kind of rough, but you know, people had told me that like, it's not your diagnostic score that really matters. If you put in the work, you can get to a really high LSAT score. It's not indicative of your future performance. And so I started with actually a different test prep company and I tackled the games first because I heard that's the easiest game to tackle. And, you know, I was making progress, you know, sort of almost mastered the games and then started working on logical reasoning. And by far my worst section was reading comprehension, which is the case for a lot of other people. Then, so I took that diagnostic, I think in April or June of last year, around that time. And then I didn't start studying again until after I had graduated last year, because I knew that I wanted to just wait until, you know, I had all the time to study because I just wanted to focus on either the LSAT or my GPA. So I waited until I graduated and then I, you know, started studying for the tests and I had signed up for the August exam. So that was about 2 months of studying just, you know, on my own. Took the exam and didn't do so well. I scored a 168 on the official exam and that wasn't bad, but I knew that I could do better. There were a lot of holes in my studying, so I decided to retake the exam.
That's awesome. What were your thoughts that were going through your head? Like, so you, you know, took your diagnostic and then you did your GPA first, which is awesome. And that's what all students that are in college should be prioritizing their GPA because that's still something that they can control in the law school admissions process. And that's awesome that you did that. But what were you feeling like as you were, you know, finishing out the summer and then you ended up taking the test and you didn't get what you want?
So when I was finishing the test and I didn't get what I wanted, I was like a little bit discouraged because I was like, well, I guess, you know, I'm going to have to start studying again. But at the same time, I knew that I could do better. So for me, it was just an opportunity to like prove to myself that, you know, I could work hard and, you know, get the score that I actually wanted because, you know, I wasn't like that upset about the 168 because, you know, I didn't walk out of that test feeling that great, but I knew I wanted to take that test and feel like I aced it. And I didn't feel like that when I had taken it the first time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think what you're talking about is something that that I'm certainly familiar with is like essentially knowing that you can do better and then staying greedy, essentially, right? In a positive way, staying greedy in a positive way about what it is that you think you can do. And knowing that, you know, if you're at a 168, I can get a couple more points. It's totally within the realm of possibility. And maybe I need to keep practicing a little bit more to move up my range. But it is certainly possible. That's awesome. What was the rest of your journey like? So after you got the 168, you clearly made some changes in order to get to your final score. What was that like?
Yeah, so after I got the 168, I was feeling, discouraged, but I was like, well, I've got to take it at least one more time, right? So that's what I did. But, I hadn't really, found the LSAT Demon at this point in my journey yet. But I, registered for the October exam. And I was like, I have another month to study. So I'm going to do that. So I kind of just studied on my own. And then I took the exam, and then this time I actually scored lower than on my first official exam. And I saw that score and I was like, oh, well, when I opened that score that day, I almost thought that it was a mistake because I had never scored that low on any of my practice tests in those few months. So I was like, wait, are they sure they scored this right? But I knew there was a mistake. So at that point, I remember I woke up, I waited to, I waited all night because I couldn't sleep. And then I was up, when I was finally able to log in and I checked my score, I remember I seeing that, I was in shock. And then after that, tears were rolling down my face. I was like, oh my God, so
that's really tough.
And then at that point I was like, okay, well, something needs to change. And I heard about LSAT Demon. I've heard great things. At that point I started listening to the podcast because that's free. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to bite the bullet and sign up for the life plan because what I'm doing now isn't working. Right. And, I had listened to actually, they talked about you on the podcast and I was like, well, Ala took it 5 times and then she got a 176. So why should I stop here when I have one more chance to take this test and prove to myself that I can do it?
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I'm really glad that you found us. That's awesome. So maybe you can tell me a little bit about what sort of things you felt started clicking better, because 163 was, just part of the range that you had in that score, right? That was one of the realm of possibility, but obviously it doesn't feel good to feel like you're regressing in any way. So what was it like when you were sort of building up more of that, foundational knowledge and getting even more confident with the test, where someone that gets a 168 has clearly understood almost all the ins and outs of the foundations, but what do you think took you to the next level, in terms of your LSAT prep, and did the LSAT Demon have anything to do with that? What were the things that were clicking for you, whether that's on a particular section or just generally with the test?
Yeah, so a few things helped me, I think, improve from my initial score. One of which was, actually taking the time. The drilling function it works. Before when I was studying for the exam, I think I was doing a lot of just practice tests every day, back to back. That's not enough time to review. That's enough time to learn the material.
Yeah.
I think, it's part of that, you really want to just see your score improve, right? And you're hoping for the next exam, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I have to do better on the next exam. But that's not true. If you don't actually review the material, you're just wasting exams. And that's what I did. I not only did I burn myself out, but I just wasn't actually learning the material. So, you really do have to slow down to, actually learn the material and get better at the test. So that's what I did. I drilled a lot, I put away taking a full length practice test for maybe even 3 weeks. And all I did during that time was just drill and do time sections. So yeah, that was the first part, slowing down and actually learning the material. And then, the next time I took my exam, I remember doing super well. It just felt more natural and I just felt more at ease. I wasn't feeling that same sort of anxiety. So that helped. And then also I think just addressing the gaps in my setting. For example, I knew that reading comp was by far my worst section. Every time I would, get to the reading comp section, I would just pray that the passages weren't hard or, I wouldn't have too much trouble, but I didn't do too much review. But once I actually started, the demon approach for reading comp is so simple, but it works. literally all the answers are on the page. You just have to like look for them. And like, once I realized that, I was like, okay, this isn't hard at all. And then I think on the official test, like reading comp, I like breezed through.
That's amazing. I remember Joey so clearly from my classes, because you were there like in the beginning when I first started teaching. And I remember you from my classes. And I remember like, there were questions that you would have. You were really struggling with RC in the sense that like, there were questions that would come at you and you'd be like, I can't piece this whole thing together. But within a couple of months, and she used to be in my classes all the time. I loved having her in my classes. You would show up, and then like by the end of sort of your study journey, before I think you took it the third time, you were like leading class discussions and absolutely crushing it, because you were like, it's right there in the passage. And you would like not only be able to like find it, even if you couldn't refer back to the passage, you were identifying where in the author's story a particular answer fit in. And you were like, that's clearly what they were talking to us, and that's the answer. And I loved watching Joey's like confidence just go from like 0 to 100 so quickly on RC. Because you were in one of my first classes and you were like, I don't really get RC. It doesn't make sense to me. Or you had like an innate, like clearly you're a capable, smart person, like all of my students are. And you had that in you, but it wasn't translating out into like actually getting points on RC. And it was wonderful to watch you like unlock levels, like literally on a video game. And within like 2 months, you were in a position where you were like, yeah, no, this has to be the answer. This completely makes sense. You were answering other students' questions in the chat while it was going on. It was a sublime experience for me as a teacher to watch you like go through that full like hero's journey.
Yeah, I mean, I also have you to credit, all the fantastic teachers at the Demon to credit. I think I would have still hated reading comp had it not been for everyone at the Demon who made it really just so simple.
Yep. We're all about simplicity and making things intuitive and as natural as possible. What else would you say like are things that generally helped you with, whether that's like internally with like actual studying or even like externally with the LSAT, right? That's something that we don't always talk about as people go through these like months long journeys of going through the test and getting their score and like feeling like there, it wasn't that good. And then, you know, signing up again, it's such an odyssey, as I like to call it, of like trials and tribulations that you go through. So what are like some other things that you'd, you know, care to mention that would be interesting for people to hear about with your LSAT journey of like things that helped?
I think just keeping in the back of my mind, like, even if I have like had a bad day of like studying, let's say like I would miss questions like all the time for that day for some reason. I don't know, maybe it's because I didn't get enough sleep or, you know, there's just a lot on my mind. Like giving myself the grace that, and just letting myself know that it's just one day in this journey of studying, you know, there's a lot more day. There's a lot more time for me to improve and I'm going to get there no matter what. So, you know, whatever it is that day, I can just take it and then move on from it and learn from that experience. Right. So yeah, just having faith in yourself. And then also I think I study best in the morning. Right. So I also work like a full-time job. So I would wake up at like 6:30 to study, do my drilling, take a few, like a time section or two, and then get to work, and then sneak onto classes while I'm at work. but yeah, just like whenever it is like that you study best, whichever hour of the day that is, making sure that you do your LSAT prep then, because you know, that's when you're going to set yourself up for success.
That's amazing. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I would also credit like some of my success to that as well. Just like knowing that I was a morning person, and that if, you know, if I told myself like I would study in the evening and I had a full day of like work ahead of me, that never, ever worked, because I would just get home after a really long day and I still haven't done the most important thing in my day. And it's 6 p.m. and I'm hungry and I'm crabby and I'm annoyed and I'm just exhausted and I don't want to do anything. And so for a vast majority of my prep was like in the morning before I did work. So that was usually also waking up a little bit at the crack of dawn, and like putting in that time then. And that's when no one's awake. That's when no one's bothering you. And it just got that out of the way. And then it didn't even matter if I went to work or if I like did anything else, because I was doing like the thing that like I cared about, and everything else became secondary to that. And that was a huge part of like not suffering every day, you know, like not making it like a 6 p.m. thing where I just hate myself.
Yeah, I think like for me, I really try to make it a part of my daily routine. And, you know, for me, it was just, I think I, you know, told this to you in one of your classes after I'd taken the exam. I'm like, oh, I'm just here because I'm so used to coming to class. Like, I don't know what else to do.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just here, you know, my subscription hasn't like, it didn't, I hadn't like run out at the time. So I was just like, I need to just come here. And
yeah. And that would have been true even if you had to have taken like the next LSAT administration, right? Like if you were done, you know, if you go take the official test, you should be automatically signed up for the next one and still be very much planning to take the next one. And, you know, obviously take a couple of days off if you'd like, but just get back into it. Cause when you make it not scary and not difficult for you, it's very easy to incorporate into your day. And anything you can do to make it an easier part of your day will mean that you'll go a little bit longer, a little bit more consistently than you would before.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, towards the end of my journey, I knew that, you know, I was coming up to you know, that end, because I was just starting to understand the test and things were starting to click for me in a way that it hadn't before. And I was like, well, this is not even work for me anymore. You know, like, of course it was still hard. Like it was still challenging. So I had to use my brain, but you know, it became fun in a way. And I looked forward to studying for it.
That's awesome. One of the things I try to talk about more in my classes, right, and like more in discussions in general, is like the mental health aspect of the LSAT journey, because it's such an isolating process and it's very difficult to, you know, envision yourself doing well on something that you are not good at currently, right? It's like that future, it's believing in that future self and believing that your future self is capable of more than what you're seeing as like your practice test range right now, right? What was your like mental health journey like, and to whatever extent that you're comfortable sharing, obviously, what was that like? And do you have any sort of like things that you learned or any sort of things that helped you along the way with respect to mental health? Because that's something that has really been top of mind for students recently, but also in general.
Yeah, I would say that I really prioritize, for me, I feel like my mental health is, you know, deeply tied with my physical health. So every day I would make sure to get at least some sort of movement in, you know, even if it's just 30 minutes of going on the treadmill or just going on a walk, I'd make sure that that's what I did. Especially getting in sunlight, just 20 minutes of sunlight, going on that walk in the morning before like I started my day, that's like helped immensely. I think with just on that walk, I would just, you know, reaffirm myself and tell myself that like, you know, it's a brand new day and it's just an opportunity for me to like go crush the exam and, you know, to, you know, just be proud of myself and celebrate the small victories, even if that wasn't, you know, a tangible thing. Like, even if I didn't see like an improvement on my score, maybe I understood, you know, a 5-star rated question.
I love that, Joey. I used to do that a lot too, actually go on like morning walks, because getting sunlight so important for like your circadian rhythm and like your sleep in general. But I also, it was like a time where like I could spend time with myself and just like have, sometimes I'd listen to audiobooks. Sometimes I'd like have like a little meditation, like music on or something like that. And all of those things like helped me stay grounded. And that was definitely one of the things that like got me through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I also recommend, like, if there's a hobby that you enjoy doing, don't give that up. Like for me, that was rock climbing. I climb
Ooh.
A lot. So I made sure that like, I was still regularly climbing like 3-4 times a week. That's what I did before. And that's what I made sure to continue doing even as I was studying. And also just recognizing that like, there were times when I was going to have to make sacrifices, like maybe not hang out with my friends as much, but just building in time to eventually see them and, you know, have moments where I wasn't just thinking about the exam.
Yeah, that's super crucial, right? I think a lot of students experience burnout are like, hey, but I haven't been studying all that much. Like, it's not like I've been doing 3, 4 hours a day. And students don't always realize that if even if you're studying for just an hour a day, but you're spending all the other hours of your day thinking about the LSAT, you are burning yourself out because of how much time you spend doing the LSAT. So I love that you brought up rock climbing and also like making time for the people that you care about, right? And those can be ways to like spend time where you're not thinking about the test. But also like noticing that the LSAT requires sacrifice, but like to what extent can you sacrifice without taking a ding on your mental health? And also like balancing that with like knowing that you need to nurture yourself, and that includes people, that includes activities. I got really into table tennis a while ago, like when I was studying for the LSAT. Yeah, like table tennis. I got like back into my like fantasy reading world of like Goodreads, and I was like just eating up books, but books for fun, not like I was trying to get better at reading exactly. It was just like ways to be in a meditative state of like being present, whether that's with a person or a book, right? And all of those things can really transform your mental attitude.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, tell us a little bit about where you're headed, because I know that you put in a lot of work and I know you prioritized yourself. You're a very hardworking person. And I know you applied the cycle. So how have things shaken out?
Yeah, so surprisingly, things worked out for me, even though I applied kind of late in the cycle. I had to wait for my January score to come out, but I'm going to Stanford in the fall and I'm super excited.
Congratulations, Joey. I'm so thrilled to hear that. And I feel like I'm just like my heart is just like swelling with pride this entire episode, because I'm just really happy to be able to speak with one of my former students and like somebody that clearly showed up and worked on it and committed to it and went through it, even though there were clearly, points in time where it was not fun. And somebody that had a very normal diagnostic score and somebody that like really committed to the work, and it has paid off. And it was really wonderful talking to you today, Joey. Thank you so much for making the time. Super duper congratulations about Stanford. I'm not surprised. It makes total sense to me.
I
So thank you for making the time for this. I hope you guys got something out of hearing Joey's story. Please email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some wonderful LSAT or law school admissions news. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks again, Joey.
Yeah, thanks.